The state of Missouri is under new political management, and it's spelled GOP. The reins of executive and legislative power are now in the hands of the grand old party. Republican Governor Eric Greitens will be working with a GOP legislative supermajority. All but one statewide office is held by the Republicans. Not a bad way to start for the brand new state GOP party chairman, Todd Graves. He is an attorney, former U.S. attorney, former county prosecutor. His brother is Congressman Sam Graves of Northwest Missouri, and Todd Graves joins us by phone. Well, congratulations, Todd Graves, and thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
The GOP is certainly standing in tall cotton these days, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it is, which is a challenge for me because I'm coming in at a high water mark. We certainly have big majorities in the legislature and the statewide offices, but I would say that in the judiciary, we're probably in the minority of judges.
You say it makes your job difficult. I would think in some sense it would make it easier, particularly just starting as you are with having the supermajority and a Republican governor and all those statewide offices.
Yeah, and maybe difficult is the wrong word, but the truth is when you have that many people in high positions, then disagreements develop, and that's something that we'll have to focus on.
And then there's the national situation where the Republicans are in control there as well. I mean, everything is falling into place for the GOP.
Well, it seems to be this year, but, you know, someone told me a long time ago in politics, it's never as bad as it seems and it's never as good as it seems. So, you know, we want people to temper their expectations a little bit because it's never, certainly folks in our base, it's not going to be as good as it seems, I don't think.
You know, you talk about taking the party in a new direction, Todd Graves. How is that going to differ from the old direction?
Well, I don't know. I think, I don't know whether you're talking about state or federal, but at the state level,
state.
I don't know that it's going to differ from the old direction, but there are not going to be any obstacles. We are going to be able to enact things that Republicans have sought to do for many years, and that's going to take the state in a new direction, certainly.
So what are the party challenges then as you see them right now?
The challenge obviously is to keep everybody together and moving forward. Certainly we have a tough budgetary this year. You saw where the governor had some withholds that he had to do already. I guess our challenges are challenges of governing. We have a very clear position from the top that we're going to pass right to work, we're going to pass tort reform, and what sort of form and shape those initiatives take, I guess, is the immediate challenge.
One of the things that I've read in some of the material that's been written about you is as a challenge, is the urban-rural situation here. Democrats are very much in control in the St. Louis and Kansas City area, GOP pretty much every place else. In order to increase the majorities that you have, you're going to have to make some inroads in Kansas City and St. Louis. How do you go about that?
Well, you know, one thing, I would challenge your premise just a little bit, because you said Democrats are firmly controlling the Kansas City and St. Louis areas, and I live in one of the Kansas City suburban counties, was a county prosecutor, and certainly in the central cities, the Democrats are very much in control,
yeah.
But, the counties that make up the metro region in St. Louis, St. Charles, Franklin, Jefferson, parts of St. Louis County, the picture isn't that clear. So we do okay in metropolitan regions. We don't do well in central city areas right now, and that is a challenge for us. And obviously we want to reach out to those areas.
How so? How do you do that? I mean, we're talking basically about winning over minority voters, I suspect.
Yeah, and I think the challenge is that we have to convince minority voters that we're not going to change our position on economic issues and other issues, and we have to convince them that it's in their best interest to support Republican candidates. And certainly, our platform is one of opportunity for all, and hopefully that'll resonate.
Do you think that you'll receive sufficient help on the national level in that regard? There's been some pretty testy and hostile rhetoric, if you will, particularly recently with regard to the GOP and minorities.
Oh, really? What rhetoric are you referring to?
Well, I'm thinking of most recently of the John Lewis, Donald Trump exchanges.
Yeah, I don't know that I would characterize that as racial rhetoric. I would certainly characterize it as something President-elect Trump is someone who has a bombastic style, and that's not going to change, and that's something that, that will affect us here in Missouri. But on the flip side, on the national level, I think one of the things that's benefited us a great deal is the drift to the far left of the national party. When you have folks like Bernie Sanders, who is one of the voices of the Democratic Party nationally, and people turn the TV on at night and see that in all parts of the state of Missouri, who is a self-avowed socialist, that helps us. So certainly there are going to be times when President-elect Trump says things that are going to be, something that we're going to have to deal with. But, the national scene is what it is, and there's not a lot I can do about it. And I think probably overall, at least in Missouri, we get more folks coming our way based on what happens nationally than going the other way.
You ran for statewide office yourself some years ago, ran for state treasurer, as mm-hmm. I recall. How does that experience help you, do you think, in your role as a state party chairman?
Well, I actually was a student at MU in 1986 and dropped out of college and went to work for Kib Bond as a field rep in his first election for Senate. And I come from a rural part of North Missouri where my family were rural Democrats at that time, rural conservative Democrats. And so, worked for Kib Bond in 1988. I lived in St. Louis and was in charge of youth for Danforth. And then in 92, worked for David Steelman, who ran for Attorney General. And in 94, I first ran for county prosecutor in Platte County. And then in 2000, I was the statewide candidate for state treasurer on the Republican ticket, and the ticket did not do well that year. So, I've won elections, I've lost elections. I prefer winning them. I've been a staff person in campaigns since 2000. During that period, I was a prosecutor and started a law firm in 2006. So, I think a little patience from that period, having won and lost, and understanding that the tides move in and the tides move out, and also understanding how the system works and knowing people. I've lived in St. Louis County. I've worked the townships in St. Louis County and know people, across the state. I think that's all going to be beneficial for me.
I gather that you're fairly close with our new governor, Eric Reitens.
Yeah, I am. But the funny thing about that is he's a very open style governor. In that, I supported a different candidate in the primary. Right after the primary, came on board with him and helped. And there are a lot of people like that. I mean, who don't necessarily go all the way back with this governor, but he has opened it up and is certainly inviting everyone in and who's willing to help out.
My impression is that he was instrumental in your winding up with this job.
Without a doubt he was. Yes, he is the governor of the traditionally the governor picks the party chair, and the state committee defers to that pick, and that's what happened in this instance.
Now, how helpful is that relationship then to you and the job ahead?
That's very helpful, and I'm impressed with Governor Greitens. You alluded to the fact we've done well in elections over the last several cycles, and now we have to do well in governing. And as we talked about a little bit ago, my challenge is going to be helping implement the governor's agenda. So I will need to, and the party will need to work hand in glove with the governor's office, and that relationship that we have will foster that.
Well, what do you expect to be hearing from him tonight?
I will be in the Capitol tonight, and I will hear it. I haven't gotten a preview. I'm not sure. I suspect that he will lay out his broad vision and goals for his first term as governor, certainly legislative items. But even more than that, where he wants the state to go.
Yeah, you alluded to this earlier, but whereas you come into the job with the GOP having such a great success recently in elections, he comes in with a budget situation that is just horrific and has had to make some very, very difficult decisions that politically probably aren't going to play too well over time.
No, that's the nature of governing, and as I said, that's going to be one of the challenges. At the end of the day, the budget balances in the state of Missouri, and we won't have a new budget until this summer, I think, is when it begins, and so this budget will balance between now and then.
Your predecessor, Mr. Hancock, was a champion of a closed primary in the state of Missouri. Where do you stand on that? Is that something that makes sense to you?
You know, I haven't taken a position on that, but it is something that makes sense to me. Parties, Republican Party, Democrat Party, Libertarian Party, whatever, are private associations. And over time, governments have passed laws to govern parties, and it's not the government's party, it's a private association. So I'm in favor of that power residing with the party itself and not necessarily with the government in a general sense.
I'm not quite sure I follow all of that. I mean, if we're talking about people being required to claim a party in primaries, what's the advantage to that, or what's the disadvantage?
Well, I don't know what the advantage or disadvantage is, but to vote, a party primary is a vote to nominate someone to represent a private association, which is a political party. And that could be, you know, anyone can form a political party in the state of Missouri. They're just not Republican and Democrat. And I guess what my point was that all the parties should have the right to govern how they conduct themselves and how they select people that will represent them in a general election.
So the idea of someone coming in and claiming a Republican ballot, although they may not be a registered Republican, it would be a problem.
Well, it's something that, under that view, that would be a problem. Under a closed primary view, that would be a problem. Yeah.
Let's talk for a moment about another issue that I'm sure is going to be capturing some of your time, and that is the question of campaign finance. We're talking about Amendment 2 now, and campaign donations. What are your feelings about that, and where we are at the moment on that?
Well, in addition to my position with the party, I'm a practicing attorney, and my law firm does campaign finance work all across the country. And if you're asking what my personal opinion on that is I believe that the First Amendment, freedom of speech and freedom of association, means what it says. And I think that that we get the best results when we have when government doesn't try to regulate speech. Whenever the government regulates something, you get less of it. And as the Founding Fathers said in the Federalist Paper, the more speech, the better. By the way, the Federalist Papers were written anonymously. So I personally, I'm not a fan of Amendment 2, and think that over time, and I've seen this in other states we've worked in, it becomes more of a battle over who gets to speak and what they get to say than a battle over the actual policy choices that face the government.
Well, as I understand it, what is happening here under 2 is that candidates will have the amount of the donations they can receive, the capped at $2,600, whatever it is. But it's the political parties that are really going to benefit financially from all of this.
Well, the parties now have – we've never had our donations capped. The parties now have their donations capped as well at $25,000. And – they no longer can take corporate contributions. Again, it's just as you move down this slope under Supreme Court jurisprudence, a group of people can speak freely. So what this what happens is, as you cap the parties and you cap the individual candidates, you create a situation where you have third-party groups coming in, running a ton of ads, where it's less clear, less disclosed where that money's coming from. And they begin to impact the process. Whereas when you have disclosure without caps, then that money runs through the candidates' committees, and it's clear where it's coming from. So that's one of the outcomes of Vote Like Amendment 2.
Well, what is this going to mean for people like Rex Singfield, for instance, who's put an awful lot of money into the political process over the years? What is it going to mean, Amendment 2, going to mean for someone like him and his counterparts on your side of the state?
Yeah, you know, Mr. Singfield, I think, is a good example of why this issue isn't so clear. This last election in the Republican primary, he spent a tremendous amount of money, and his group spent a tremendous amount of money in the election, and with one exception, none of their candidates won the primary, and so it's not so clear that money had the impact that he desired, but. Having said that, folks with sophisticated lawyers and the means to do it will find other ways through independent expenditures or issue advocacy or something else. They'll still be able to impact the process, but it won't be by giving to candidates anymore.
In a very general way, and we can maybe take this to the national level as well, if you like. With regard to the amount of money that is involved now in the political process. What are your thoughts about that? When you have a national campaign, which I think they figure is $1 billion or more spent on the campaign, that's an awful lot of money to be spending on the political process. And a lot of people are suspicious of it and don't like it. Where are you on that?
I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I believe this is accurate. George Will, who's someone whose columns I read, said once, or not once, frequently says that we spend less in a cycle electing a Congress and a president than we spend every single year in advertising toothpaste. So, yeah, when you're talking absolute numbers, that's a lot. But there are 300 million people in this country, politicians at multiple levels of government want to reach them with their message. We want voters to have access to information, and so it's hard for me to define what a lot of money is. The process takes in what it does, but what I will say is, to the same point, after talking about Mr. Singfield's candidates didn't generally win the primary this year. At the same time, Donald Trump was outspent tremendously in the presidential election. By a factor of a large factor of money, and he won. So I won't say that spending doesn't have any impact on the outcome, because it certainly does. But I don't think it's determinative.
Yeah, but there is a suspicion, I think, among many voters that there are just a few people who have a lot of money who are able at least to make the effort to influence elections above and beyond what the average John and Joe can do.
Yeah, but there also are groups that aggregate their money, which are also caught up in this, where, and of course that's freedom of association. Where labor unions, for example, where a lot of people put their money together and spend it in coordination. And many of these laws, including Amendment 2, would outlaw that.
Well, we only have about a minute left. I'm curious as to, as you're just getting started in this job, how does one begin? You'll be at the State of the State tonight, but then what's ahead? What's in the immediate offing for you to hit the ground running?
Well, I need to spend a lot more time away from my office. Certainly the St. Louis region is, represents 40% of the voters of the state of Missouri, so I need to spend a lot more time there, on the Kansas City side, we are a city of 2 million, but half, unlike on the St. Louis side, half of those 2 million live in Kansas and half live in Missouri. So we're only about 20%, even though we're not half the size of St. Louis, but in voters in Missouri, we're half the size. So I need to get out. We have statewide Lincoln Days coming up. We have other Lincoln Days coming up in counties, I'm going to have to spend a fair amount of time in Jefferson City and also spend a fair amount of time fundraising for the party.
You're going to be a busy guy, Todd Graves, obviously.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
It sure does. Todd, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck to you in your new job, and we'll be talking to you again, I hope.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.